If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're back with you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com and iHeartRadio. So let's go into the story that I was just talking about right before the break about obesity and it being tied to pollutants. So they found in a new study that exposure to secondhand smoke and roadway traffic may actually be tied to increased body mass index in children and adolescents. The researchers were from Southern California and they looked at just over 3,000 children between the ages of 10 and 18, and they used parental questionnaires to understand the kids' exposure to smoking and levels of nitrogen dioxide, ozone, and particles to track their pollution. And then the researchers controlled for sex, physical activity, income, and a number of other variables. And then after they controlled for them, they found that compared with the children who were exposed to no secondhand smoke or near roadway air pollution, that their BMI was 0.80 higher in children that were exposed to just the pollution alone, 0.85 higher in those that were exposed just to the secondhand smoke alone. But then that risk increased to 2.15 higher than when you combined the pollution and secondhand smoke exposure in children. So kids that were exposed to both were at a much higher risk of being obese, and the findings definitely challenge the view that obesity is just a matter of controlling your caloric intake and making sure that you're physically active. I definitely think that, obviously, I'm a little biased as a dietitian, but I think that food plays the most important role. But I would not be surprised if our exposure to secondhand smoke and pollution also are play a role in there, too. And I'm not surprised because the research shows it. We'll just need more research to really understand what that association looks like. Moving on to another great story of the week, the researchers from Michigan State University looked at unhappy marriages versus happy marriages. They talked to a number of different couples, 1,200 to be specific, between the ages of 50 and 80, and they found that a bad marriage can actually increase your risk of heart disease, especially if you're a woman. The women were at a much higher risk for heart disease when they were unhappily married than men, but they found an association in both. And the head researcher clarified that marriage is not necessarily better than not being married. It's the quality of the marriage that is the critical factor and can optimize your health. And Dr. Roizen and Dr. Oz have written about this a lot in You, the Owner's Manual Radio. That's our radio, in You, the Owner's Manual book and all of the other books, You Being Beautiful and the other books that they've written, because we do know that marriage can help improve your health if it's a healthy one. So they looked at these 1,200 adults and they found that they measured their factors of heart attack, stroke, and cholesterol levels from data that had been taken within the past 5 years. And then they compared that to the survey questions that they asked the couples about their spouses and how happy and connected they felt. And they found those with the unsupportive or unhappy marriage had a higher risk of heart disease, and they found that being in an unhappy marriage can cause a lot of stress, which is where they think the link is with the cardiovascular health.
Well, it seems to me, the layman, that's exactly what that is the stress. I mean, if you don't have a stress outlet like your spouse is supposed to be, and they become a stress inlet, I mean, that you're not going to have that channel to actually get rid of some of the stress that's already building up on you.
Right, exactly. I completely agree. It's a really important part. And they found, when they looked specifically at whether the couple, one of the people in the relationship was sick already, that a lot of times when the women were sick with heart disease, it lowered the quality of their marriage. But that wasn't necessarily found to be the case when men were sick. And the study authors believe that that's attributed to women being more of a caregiver for their sick spouse, and that maybe not being the role that men take when their wives are sick. Just in the research, that's not necessarily a general, or that's not necessarily how it is with each individual relationship, but just a pattern that they've seen. And they also recommended that because of that, that marriage counseling be considered not only for young couples, but also for older couples who have a lot of health issues and those types of things that occur when we age going on, and that it's important to pay attention to the quality of your marriage so that you can save it before it gets bad and stressful, because that can lead to a lot of other problems. What's happening with your spine when you constantly text? Something that I actually have never thought of. Same with the microbeads that are in your exfoliant, as Dr. Ginsberg talked about in his toxicology report. I had never considered microbeads being harmful to the environment. I'm going to need to buy a new face wash. And I'm also going to need to have better posture when I'm texting. And I presume that many of you are the same way. A new study that was released this past week on texting and spine health looked at how often how long people spend looking down at their phone, and they found that it can add up to 60 pounds of pressure to the spine depending on the angle that you're at. The researchers found that people spend 2 to 4 hours per day on average with their heads tilted down, engaging in activities like texting or reading or even on a laptop. And they found that over the course of the year, that adds up to 700 to 1,400 hours of excess stress on your cervical spine, or up to 5,000 hours per year for high school students, because we know that they're spending even more time on these types of devices.
That's a lot of time reading The Hunger Games.
I think it's a little bit more than just The Hunger Games. So people can take preventive steps. It's obviously not as realistic to say to stop using these devices, but definitely to be conscious of how often you're using them, for how long, and then to maintain good posture while you're doing so. To just be aware of where your alignment is from your ears to your shoulder, because good posture is defined as having your ears aligned directly with the shoulders. And the yoga, the woman who runs and manages the yoga program for the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute told me that having good posture is one of the best health habits you can develop for your entire life. And I've never forgotten that she said that to me. So, good posture, good eating, good sleep, all of that that we've talked about today. Thank you for listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
Itching, pain, and soreness during sex? General feelings of vaginal discomfort and dryness? You are not alone. Vaginal dryness is a very common condition that can profoundly affect your everyday life and your sex life. The dryness you are experiencing doesn't reflect your desire to have sex. There are tons of moisturizers and lubricants on the market today, but who wants to put harsh chemicals down there? Prevalief Oasis is an intimate moisturizer with natural ingredients. You don't need to fret over the hazardous chemicals in Prevalief Oasis Vagina Moisturizer. It's paraben-free, hormone-free, fragrance-free, and rapidly absorbing. It provides immediate comfort and relief. You can find out more information on the Prevalief Oasis product and all the great Prevalief products at Prevalief.com. PrevaLeaf.com. To stop your itching fast and find relief right now. Prevalief.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.